Blog Talk Radio.
I was waiting for them to say Lost Souls Radio. Are you there, Dad?
Yeah.
It did say Lost Souls. Let me see something else. Hold on, Dad. Because that's unusual. Okay, Dad. I will go ahead because it sounds like we already connected, okay? This is Pastor Lockamy from the Burning Bush Church, and I'm going to turn it over to him now. Thank you.
Yes, good evening. This is Apostle Locke from the Burning Bush Church, 402 North 13th Street in Irwin, North Carolina. If you try to reach us for prayer, it'd be 910-658-5206, 910-658-5206. Church number is 910-897-7392, 910-897-7392. Best reach us there on Tuesday night from 7 to 9 and Sunday morning from 10 to 1. We're certainly kind of privileged to be able to come this afternoon on this Thursday, the first Thursday night in the new year. There is a word from the Lord. After praying to God and asking him what to talk about tonight, he told us to talk about living above frustration. Living above frustration, F-R-U-S-T-R-A-T-I-O-N, frustration. Living above, so many people have been frustrated coming out of 2023 for various reasons. See, that's the devil's trick. That's the devil's objective, is to get you frustrated. He just don't want you to get you mad. He don't want to just get you upset. He want to get you frustrated because he knows if he gets you frustrated enough, you react. Sometimes we can be mad and not act. Sometimes we can be upset and not act. Sometimes we can be angry and not act. But when we reach frustration, it's kind of like your car running hot. And it's okay. Your car can run hot long as it don't get in the red. But once your hot car get in the red and it stay in the red and then running off, after a while your car will get to steaming and knocking and bucking and it's going to cut off because it can't stand the heat that is going on. And see, that's what Satan does. He want to get you in the red. And the red is frustration. And then you done got beyond mad. You done got beyond upset. You done got beyond angry. I'm going to use a knife word, but you done got beyond teed off. Now you're frustrated. Now you're ready to act. Now you're ready to take matters in your own hand. And this is what's been going on in 2023. Satan, he's learning how now to push this Christian. And see, when you're not paying attention, when you're not alert at what you're going through, you'll find yourself in frustration and wonder how you even got there. Because you begin thinking that you are getting rid of the thing that you're going through, you'll be piling them up. Instead of asking God to forgive you and getting over it, You pile it up. The next thing you know, you pile something else on the. When you start piling stuff up, it'll build up after a while. It's kind of like putting something in a closet. Eventually, there's going to be no room in that closet. When you open the closet, whatever is in the room going to fall out on you because the closet can't hold it no more and there ain't no room for them no more, and you still trying to put it in there. And that's where frustration comes, when you can't take no more, when you had enough. So let's look up the word frustration. And the definition for frustration is the feeling of being upset or annoyed, especially because of inability to change or achieve something. In other words, it's out of your hand. It done got out of your control. What you were trying to accomplish didn't happen. What you were trying to achieve, you didn't achieve. The point that you were trying to get to, you didn't get to. That you were trying to make happen didn't happen. And it's sometimes it feels like streaming with frustration because you've been feel like you've been defeated. It seemed like whatever you were going through got the best of you. It done piled up now, and it ain't no more room for it to pile up. You done had enough. You had the old saying said, your last nerve, and said, Christian, we got to learn how to live above frustration, because Christians cannot walk in a frustrated environment. God did not call us to walk in. How are we going to help people frustrated if we frustrated? How are we going to, listen, God brings frustration in your life for you to graduate from it, not to live in it. You see what I'm saying? Frustration comes to strengthen you and help you get to the next level. I often say it kind of like social service. Social service comes to help you get over, not for you to live in. You know, and many times people live in social service rather than get over it, letting it be a stepping stone or a brick to get them to the next level. They make home there. They live there for 20 and 30 years. Why? Because they're satisfied somebody else taking care of them, somebody else's money. All we were told, ain't nothing like your own money. But when you're part of social service, you're limited. They tell you how much money you can have. They tell you what you can have, what you can't have. They want to keep you in a limit. They want to keep you in a bracket. So that's what frustration does. Frustration will keep you in a bracket where you upset all day. You wake up in the morning upset. You lay down upset. And that's not of God. That's a trick of the enemy. And for Christian, I'm coming this afternoon to show you how far I've been frustrated. So I can teach this because I've been there and I graduated from it. And since I graduated from it, I can teach it to you. And this is what trials are all about. This is what tests is all about. You graduate from them so that when you meet others that are going through the same thing, you can teach them because you graduated from it. But if you don't graduate from it, you can't help nobody else. So I come to tell you this afternoon, you can live above frustration. Listen, it's going to come. If you're a Christian, if you live long enough, I don't care how righteous you are, I don't care how holy you are, I don't care how much money you got, I don't care what your title is, you can be a pastor, you can be a prophet, you can be an evangelist, a preacher, a teacher, a healer. Frustration is coming to your house, and you're going to have to learn how to deal with it, or you're going to find yourself cussing at your wife, cussing at your husband. You're going to find yourself fussing at your children, fussing at your supervisor, fussing at your mom, your dad. You're going to find yourself out of control because you don't know how to deal with frustration. And God's word gives us, we got some scripture later on, but God's word gives us a remedy to living above frustration. And listen, frustration is exasperation. Frustration is annoyance. Frustration is anger. So if you got these signs going on, you might be headed for frustration. Frustration is increased anger. Vexation. You done had enough. You done been vexed. You been touchy. You're so tough. Somebody talking about, oh, she got on my last nerve. You headed for frustration now when somebody get on your last nerve. You don't let it build irritation. That's what frustration is. It's irritation. To be irritated. In other words, you don't even want to be around that person. You don't even want to be in that person's presence. You see them coming. You hide from them because they're irritating. They irritate their aggravation. They somebody that you don't want to be bothered with because they're annoying. Bitterness is a sign of frustration. You done got bitter now. Huh? And bitterness is not for Christians. The Bible says bitterness is not of God. If you bitter, it's the devil. I didn't say you were the devil. I said it's the devil. Bitterness comes from the devil. Well, the Bible says bitterness is not of God, but it's earthly. It's devilish. It's sensitive. And when you bitter, you make other people bitter. An event or a circumstance, this is what frustration is, an event or circumstance, I want you to know what it is so when we go on down the road, you can take this in there. I want you to take this into 2024 victorious because frustration is going to come, aggravation is going to come, you're going to be upset, you're going to be made mad, somebody is going to get on your last nerve, so somebody is, things ain't going to always work out in your favor. That project ain't always going to work out. That deal ain't always going to come through. That contract ain't always going to work. You went in there and went out and bought you a new car, then bought you a new house, then bought you a new outfit because you would fit to sign a $3.5 million contract or a $30 million contract. You already spending the interest and the profit money that's going to come from it and come go and get in the office and find out on Monday morning that it fell through. that they decided they didn't want your company. They did not want y'all. They went and got somebody else. Now you done got in there. Now you mad and you frustrated and you aggravated. And you don't know what to do. And you're cussing and cutting the shine. Huh? But you got to learn how to control yourself. It's an event, a circumstance that caused one to have a feeling of frustration. Yes. So frustration. You got to learn how to live above it because it comes to get the best of you. And that's what Satan been using in the church lately. Frustrated Christians. You get all on Facebook talking about I ain't mad at nobody, but you give them a piece of your mind. You give them a piece of your mind because you frustrated. You got tired of every time you looked at Facebook, they were talking about you. So you decide to get on there and go ahead and push your last nerve. You frustrated and you want to let them know that, hey, you got a mouth too. Hey, you got a conversation too. But God forbid that you do that because then in the mindset of the Lord. Huh? Jesus did not get frustrated. Jesus did not. If anybody had a right to get frustrated, if anybody had a right to get aggravated, if anybody had a right to get annoyed, if anybody had a right to get bitter and upset, it was Jesus. But he didn't. He left us an example from the pulpit to the congregation. As leaders, we have to be so careful. We can't look. Yet, I know God's a forgiving God, but we got to set an example. We got to be humble. We got to be meek. We got to be kind. Quit hollering at your flock. Quit hollering at your members. Quit hollering at your those that are under you because you got authority. Because you think you the boss, because you've been given charge. So you holler at some and then talk nice to others. You ought to talk nice to all your parishers, all your flock, all of them, every one of them. So what? Things ain't working out. So what? Things back fine. So what? You didn't get this quarter what you wanted. That's no reason to get angry with the trustees and get angry with the motherboard and the digging board and everybody else in the church. And they can't get along with you. They don't even know how to talk to you because you will go off. You're supposed to be humble. You're supposed to be meek. You're supposed to be kind, living above frustration. In the Bible, frustration is a feeling that many individuals experience due to various circumstances. Although the term frustration might not be explicitly mentioned, there are several instances where individuals, including prominent biblical figures, encounter situations that could evoke emotion. Yeah, you ain't the only one. You're not in this thing by yourself. Others are going through. Other people in the Bible that were frustrated, but they handled it, and that they can handle it. You can. Well, he said the one. He said all. Oh, he don't give you no excuse to be mad and bitter, and angry and upset, frustrated. Can't nobody get along with you because you offer. You can't think straight when you're frustrated. Additionally, the Bible offers guidance on managing frustration. Yes, the Bible got scripture verses that will help you with your frustration, such as Philippians 4:6-7, encourage us not to be anxious about anything, but to pray and present our concern to God. This passage suggested that turning to prayer and seeking God guidance can help alleviate frustration. Other words, don't be anxious for nothing. Anxiety will blind you. Anxiety, you'll make it look like want something so bad it can look pretty until you get it. Then you wake up in the morning to find out that was so pretty when you laid down that last night and wake up and look over at it, it ain't as pretty as it was when you laid down with it. You cannot move on anxiety. You got to be patient. You got to wait. I've experienced so many times with anxiety, buying the wrong car, ending up in the wrong house. People ending up with the wrong husband, the wrong wife, ending up on the wrong job. Why? Because you didn't listen to the voice of God. You was anxious. You just wanted it so bad. I remember there was an incident where I wanted something so bad, and my wife told me, she said, no, baby, you don't need it. That's not right. But rather me listen to the voice of the Lord through her, I went on and got it anyway, and it ended up disappointing me very bad. So you learn sometimes God would speak to your wife. God would speak to your children. God would speak to your friends. And it ain't that they don't want you to have nothing. Oh, you just don't want me to have him. You so jealous. No, baby, it ain't that she's jealous. It's just that she see the devil in him. She see that you fit to make a mess. You feel to get nothing. You feel to get nothing, thinking you can have something. And they see that. And you so angry and so upset, so frustrated, you can't even see straight. Moreover, listen, Ecclesiastes 7:9 advises us that anger or frustration should not linger in our heart, and it can lead to further harm. Instead, it encourages a patient and understanding approach to situations that might provoke frustration. You hear what I'm saying? Ecclesiastes 7:9 tells us that these things should not be in our heart. The Bible said, put away these things from your heart, because you let them stay, they're going to spoil you. Uh-huh. They're going to defile you. They're going to cause you to end up in frustration and anxiety. And now you can't stay straight. Do you have a minute of time? Please talk. However many times we thought we heard God's voice, because we was in anxiety, we was in frustration, we thought we heard God's voice, huh? Look at Sarah. Sarah was frustrated. Sarah mad, y'all. She upset because her handmaid disrespected her. Now that she done messed around and got in a hurry wanting a baby, she couldn't wait on God. God told her she gonna have a baby. God didn't tell her handmaid gonna have no baby. God told her she gonna have a baby. Now that sounds clear to me. If God told her she gonna have a baby, how she think her handmaid was a she? Her handmaid was what it was her excuse. Her handmaid was her alibi, because she had lost her faith. And then when she made that mistake, she want to blame Abraham. Paul, my, he sinned. He ain't sinned. He did what she told him to do, because she got in anxiety. She got impatient. She didn't wait on the Lord, and she gave her husband to a handmaid, and then the girl despised her. After the girl despised her, then she realized she done made a mistake. Now she all frustrated, ain't thinking straight, putting the girl all out in the cold. Didn't care whether the girl died out there or not, just put the girl out. She mad. Sister mad now. Told her to put her out. Put the boy out, too. Didn't say nothing about giving him no food. Just get rid of him. Because she mad because of the decision that she made. Is you mad this evening? Because the decision you made? You didn't want to walk out the house. You didn't want to tell him you didn't want him no more. You didn't want to tell him you were fed up with him. You didn't want to tell him you were tired of him. You didn't want to tell him you hated him. You didn't want somebody, I don't love you. Let me tell you something. One man treasure, one man trash, and another man treasure. How many people got your treasure this evening because you thought it was trash? What ain't good to you is good to somebody else. Now somebody else got it and fixed it all up. I reminded many years ago when I first got married around in 1981, 82 when I got married, how that one day we was at home and my wife went out there side the road where my mother had thrown something away in the Sabbath, and my wife got it and took it and brought it home and fixed it up and painted it and put it in the house, and it looked so beautiful, like it might have been from an antique store. It was nice. She painted it pretty, and my mother come on one day and asked her, where did you get that from? That looked so beautiful. My wife said, I got it out of your trash. You see how your trash can become a treasure to somebody else? So you be careful how you get so frustrated in your marriage that you get the same thing to your husband and your wife that you don't mean. And then they walk away and they leave because you said something ugly. You said something aggravating. You said something disrespectful. You said something out of your frustration that vexed their spirit. And you don't want them. You don't love them. You want them to leave and don't come back. But you didn't mean it. You were just mad. But now it's too late. They gone and somebody else got them. And you realize that, you know, they say your mouth never brings the water to the well going dry. Yes, your well dry now because you don't mess around and pull your water out and somebody else got it. The Bible says, submit ourselves to God. We acknowledge his sovereign and trust in his wisdom. By resisting the devil tactic, we prevent frustration from becoming a breeding ground for bitterness. Listen. A breeding ground. You know what a breeding ground is? A breeding ground is when you breed something so that you can get some more of it, that more can grow. Do you not know frustration become a breeding ground for bitterness, anger, destructive behavior? Wow, isn't that something? Not only are you frustrated, but you have planted a bed now. for other things to become grow. They grow right there. By you resisting the devil attacks it, it prevents that from happening. Resist the devil and he'll flee. But he, 2 Corinthians 12:9 said, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest in me. Paul said, I ain't going to brag about my abilities. I'm not going to brag about my talents. I'm not going to brag about my successes. I'm not going to brag about how anointed I am and I walk by and the shadow off my clothes heal somebody. But I'm going to boast off my weakness, off my frailty. For while I'm weak, then am I strong. He said, I had an issue in my life, and I told God to move it. And I went to God 3 times to move this thing. I was frustrated. I was aggravated. Thought maybe because I was frustrated, maybe because I was aggravated, God would consider that and move the thing. But you know what God told me? God said that my grace is sufficient. Other words, I ain't moving it, but I'm going to leave my grace there. My grace is sufficient. I looked up the word sufficient, and that means it's more than enough. Say, for example, you are in the store there, and you're in the line at the counter, and you're there paying for something and find out you ain't got enough money to pay for the product you have. So the man behind you get ready to take it back, and the man behind you tells you, no, don't take it back. She asked the clerk, how much do she need? She said, well, $3.75. And the man takes out a $5 and says, here, this should be sufficient enough. See what I'm trying to say? This is sufficient enough to take care of that $2, $3.75 and more. And that's what God's grace does. God's grace is sufficient enough to take care of whatever problem you're going through, whatever situations in your life, God's grace is sufficient. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, assure us that God's grace is enough to sustain us even in moments of frustration and weaknesses. It reminds us that our dependence on God allows his power to manifest in our lives, transforming our challenges into opportunities for him to work. See, this is what God's trying to do. He didn't allow frustration to come to stop you. He didn't allow frustration to come to hinder you. He didn't allow frustration to come to set you back, but rather to build you up, rather to strengthen your inner man. Though the outward man perish, the inner man is renewed day by day. This is what is so going to happen. When things come to seem like it want to destroy your outer man, but it's going to build up your inner man, the spiritual man on the inside. That's what God is concerned about, the spiritual man on the inside. And day by day, it's going to build up your inner man as you go through these trials, as you go through these tests. So put a smile on your face. Get that frown off your forehead, off your brow. Get that bitterness out of your mouth. Get that cussing off your lip. And give God a praise. Ashata. Give God a praise. David said, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue to be on my lip. When you bless God at all time and his praise on your lip, you will not be frustration. Frustration often exposes our limitations. You hear me? And our need for God's strength. Frustration often shows it up. This time, sometimes it shows where we are. Now, when somebody gets so mad at their cuss, it ain't that they ain't no Christian. It shows their weaknesses. It shows their frailty. It shows that the area of life where they need to work on, where you're weak. Where you thought you were still fed, but you won't. See, these things come to find out the loophole in you, the weaknesses in you. Because God don't want no weaknesses. He wants you strong. He said, be strong in the Lord and in his power, the might. Put on the whole armor of God. You'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So that's why these things come to frustrate you, to try to build you up and strengthen the weak areas of your life. By embracing our weaknesses and looking to Christ, we invite his power to rest upon us. Through our humility and reliance on God's grace, we discover a deeper sense of purpose and the ability to navigate our frustration with his strength. Be honest to God and quit trying to make like you strong when you know you're weak. Tell God you're not strong enough to lay down that cigarette. Tell God you're not strong enough to lay down that marijuana. Tell God you're not strong enough to quit committing fornication. Tell God you're not strong enough to quit committing adultery. Tell God you're not strong enough to stop getting involved in these sexual immorality, these sexual activity. Tell God. He already know anyway. Tell him your weakness. And when you do so, God will strengthen you. God will give you the ability that you need to be able to stand, to overcome the frailty. But you got to be honest to God. He already know you're weak, but you got to be honest about it and quit trying to hide the frustration. When frustration, listen, when confronted with frustration, Proverbs 15:1 remind us of the power of a gentle response. It advised us to respond sensitively and kindly, refusing to contribute to an escalating conflict. You hear me? Frustration can easily lead to heated exchange of hurtful words. But by choosing to respond with gentleness, we create an atmosphere for understanding and reconciliation. A soft response not only diffuses tension, but also allows space for open communication, helping foster resolution and restoring peace. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer, a soft word, it puts the fire out. No matter how mean they hear, no matter how angry they are, no matter how vicious they come at you with their word, don't say nothing, but say something soft. Tell them you're sorry. Just say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I got in front of you. I'm sorry that I moved. I didn't mean to move in front of you. I'm sorry that I pulled out in front of you. Let them cuss. Let them argue. Let them act like they want to hurt you. But you use a soft word. You a Christian. You a child of God. You've been born again. Tell them I'm sorry. They may not pay you no attention when you say you're sorry. But don't start fussing back at them and cussing back at them, because it could turn into a feud. It could turn into vandality. It could turn to some harshness where they actually want to hurt you. So you got to know how to respond. Don't wait till it happens to learn how to respond. You need to learn now while I'm teaching you this afternoon. As you go into 2024, you need to learn now how to live above frustration. That's my message this evening. Learning how to live above frustration from the pulpit to the congregation. Yes, leaders too. Leaders lose it. Leaders lose. I know. I can see you at the house right now hollering at that wife. I can see you hollering at them children. I can see you hollering at your members. I can see you hollering at your coworkers, because you're the supervisor, you're the boss. Hurting their feelings. They hate to even go to work because you're hollering at them. I had a supervisor one time holler at me all the time. All he wanted to do was fuss. All he wanted to do was have something negative to say. I didn't even want to go to work. I didn't even want to go to work because I had to see him. But I went to work anyway, and I kept right on praying, kept on trusting God, till God gave me the breakthrough, till God delivered me by taking him out of my presence. Look, God calls us to continue doing good, even in the face of frustration. You can't give up when frustration comes. You can't go and sit down there when frustration, oh, well, you're going to get back up again. No, baby, you got to maneuver even in frustration. Mark time off. Anytime you can only move when you ain't going through nothing, you ain't accomplishing anything. You're not proven to be a strong Christian. You're not proven to be a soldier. And the only time you gonna go when ain't no war. Sometimes you got to go to war. Sometimes you got to go on a battlefield. And if you ain't a soldier to go on the battlefield, you might not be much of a soldier. Even in the face of frustration, with the understanding that perseverance yields harvest. Listen. When we remain committed to God's principles and continue to act in love, kindness, and grace, we set ourselves up for a future reward. The key is to press on and not give up, knowing that God's timing and purpose are perfect. Press on through frustration, through aggravation, through annoyingness, through distress, through depression, through anxiety. Press on. Keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Looking into the hill, what David said, from whence cometh my help, knowing that all my help cometh from the Lord, who made the heaven and the earth. Psalm 37:7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked devices. Let them be mean. Let them be wicked. Don't you ain't their judge. Because it look like they're getting away with it. How many know there ain't nobody getting away nothing from God? For the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout all the earth, beholding the good and the evil. Ain't nobody getting away. And if it does look like they're getting away, it's really none of your business. It's in God's hand. You mind your business. You keep your nose clean. You do what you're supposed to do. And don't worry about other people who look like they're getting away with evil devices. Look like they're sinning and ain't God doing nothing about it. They're sinning and prospering. You just living right the best you know how. Look like you just can't make it. Don't you worry about that. We don't be deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sow it, that shall he also reap. That make so. So when judgment come, you ain't found. To make so when chastisement comes, make sure when the wrath of God comes, you don't find yourself in the way. Huh? When my daddy started beating, when my daddy started beating one of my brothers, don't you be in the way. Because some a lot of time he's using that switch to go further than that person. Don't you be nearby. So you might end up getting a lick too. So don't you be messing around to get a lick when God's wrath comes. Because you in with the wicked. Huh? You got your stuff spread out with the wicked. You got your life mixed up with the wicked. And then when the wrath of God comes, there you is getting a lick because you out of place. Because you over there with the wicked. And here God trying to chastise them, and you over there. The righteous cry out. Psalm 34:17-18. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivered them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. And that's what frustration is. It breaks your broken heart. It's trouble. Mm-hmm. It's failure. It's setback. It's defeat. But the Bible said when the righteous cry out, in the moment of frustration, it is comforting to remember that the Lord hears the cry of the righteous, assured us that he is close to the brokenhearted, offering comfort and deliverance from all our trouble. He close to you. You the one thinking, and see, when you hear God trying to fix, you think God 1,000 miles away or 20 miles away or New York City, and you won't let him fix it. God is close to your problem. God, you ain't got to even tell God, even though the Bible tells us to pray. He already know what you're going through before you tell him. The Bible says, you know, he know what you have need of even before you pray. But here you is all frustrated. Huh? Not knowing that God, in the moment of your frustration, the moment you start getting frustrated, God wanted to comfort you, but you didn't pray. You just sat there letting that frustration get the best of you, thinking about what they did, what happened to you. You won't turn it loose. Oh, now I'm going to tell you how to get victory over frustration. Let it go. I don't care what it is. I don't know what it is frustrating you. Let it go. Give it to the Lord. Get on your knees right there and let it go. No matter if somebody said something to you, somebody did something to you, something didn't work out in your favor, something happened that you don't even understand why it happened, let it go. Let it go. Pray. Tell God about it. Let it go. Go, let it go so God can fix it, so God can work it out, so God can console your heart. Let it go. Deliverance will come if you let it go, if you commit it unto God. For the Bible says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Please hear the scripture. Commit thy way unto the Lord. That means commit this thing to the Lord, this frustration, this aggravation. Don't just commit the good stuff to God. Commit the bad stuff to God, too. God already know, but he want you to bring it to him, just like a child to a father. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and he will establish. Do you know what the word establish means? Establish means to make it a solid foundation. When something is established, it is solid. It is steadfast and immovable. God want to make a solid foundation out of this thing. It's moving you. It got you moved over here. It got you moved over there. It got you moved over here. It got you moved over there. You're to the left. You're to the right. You're to the front. To your back. You're so unstable about this thing you're going through. You're in it today and out and tomorrow. You don't know what to do. You don't know how to handle it. You're having a problem with the situation, and you won't give it to God. But God wants you to let it go and give it to him so he can bring a deliverance. And whatever deliverance he brings, you take it and run with it. When frustration feels overwhelming and isolation, we can take solace in the knowledge that we serve a God who is attending to our every need. He offers solace in moments of brokenness and saves those who feel crushed by the weight. Yes, he offers it. God wouldn't be God if he didn't offer an escape, if he didn't offer solitude to what you're going through. He knows you're going through, and then he won't help you out. But you got to pay attention. You got to be tender to God that he is trying to bring you out. Listen, now God bringing you out may not work in your favor. See, this is where we messed up. We want God to bring us out and it work in our favor. No, it may not work in your favor, baby. God may not bring that man back that's beating on you. He may not bring that woman back that vexed your spirit and hurt you and offended you and did all the crazy stuff she could do there. It may not work that way. But however God sees you, you accept that and you go on. You go on looking into the hill would come at your help. They said if the old saying here, now it's just an old saying now, if the bird belongs, you turn the bird loose. If the bird comes back, he's yours. If it don't even worry about it. And moments of frustration, it can be disheartening to see injustice or the success of those who act contrary to God principles. However, Psalm 37:7 remind us to be still before the Lord and trust in his perfect justice. We're talking again about other people. Look like they're prospering and what they're doing, and ain't nobody doing nothing about it. Don't worry about that. Get your eyes on other people's success. Get your eyes on other people's sin. Get your eyes on when it look like God ain't punishing them for what they done. You standing back looking for God. As long as you stand back and look for God to punish them, God is not going to punish them. Because God told you to forgive them. Forgive them. He said, love them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Isn't that something? They despitefully use you, and God telling you to pray for them. You pray for them. And if your enemy thirst, God said, give him a drink of water. Oh, how far have we drifted? Some of us a long way from that. A long way from doing what I just said. But I didn't say it. God said it. Frustration can arise from our desire to see immediate consequence for wrongdoing. You hear what I'm saying? You got frustrated because somebody did something wrong and God didn't punish them. You wanted God to reward them. Oh, you wanted God to turn their car over. You wanted God to let the house catch on fire. You wanted God to knock their legs out from under them. And God didn't do nothing. God didn't do nothing. You hear what I'm saying? I remember one time this guy, person came in my house, and something my child had did to their child, and they told me what had happened. They standing there waiting for me to beat my child in front of them, chastise my child, and show that I punished my child. I asked them, well, I told them, I said, okay, thank you for letting me know. And they stood there. I said, can I help you? They said, yeah. Ain't you going to beat them? I said, if I decide to. That's my prerogative. If I decide to chastise them by beating them, I'll beat them. Or whatever I do is not your concern. You done told me what they did. Now, you just go on about your business. That responsibility is in my hand. See, it's God's responsibility to deal with your enemy. You don't tell God what to do. Standing there waiting for God to punish them, you'll be standing there a long time. You just go on and pray for them like God told you, and God will do the rest. Yes, frustration can arise from our desire to see immediate consequence for our wrongdoing. Yet this verse urges us to wait patiently on the Lord, refusing to fret or become anxious when we witness the unjust prosper. When we see the unjust prosper, we witness them prosper. Here we is going to seem like we can prosper. We righteous, and the unjust prosper, and we get upset. We get frustrated because we look like, wait, God, now, God, that ain't fair. But God is not. God is always fair. He knows what he's doing. The Bible says, with long-suffering and patience has he towards us. With confidence, we cling to the assurance that God is the ultimate judge and will bring about justice in his perfect timing. You hear what I'm saying? Not in your timing. Not when you think he ought to do it. In God's perfect timing, God's going to bring justice to that person that did you wrong. The good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Listen, you've been called according to God's purpose, and God's going to see that everything work out to the good. When it's all over with, you're going to be a winner. Romans 8:28 offer hope and assurance that God works all things together for the good of those who love him. This includes moments of frustration and disappointment. It's going to work out. I know it doesn't look like it, but I come by to assure you, let go of frustration. Let go of the thing that frustrates you. Turn it loose. Let it go. It's going to work for your good, but you got to let it go. You got to turn it loose. And when you do, God's going to fix it. God's going to work it out. Romans 8 and 28 tells us that God's going to work it out. You hear what I'm saying? It's going to work for your good. It is, but you got to let it go. And you got to trust God and believe that he's going to do just that. Psalm 55 and 22, cast all your care on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Isn't that something? Talking about frustration. You cast your care on God, you won't be frustrated. See, you're trying to handle it yourself. You're not big enough. Excuse me. You're not big enough. He didn't say cast your care on your husband. He didn't say cast your care on your wife. He said, cast your care on the Lord, and he will sustain. That means he will fix it. He will settle it. He will make it right. He will never let the righteous be moved. See, you fit to be moved. This frustration fit to move. You're going to get your gun, get your knife, get your car, get mad at it, go get your friend and do a drive-by. You fit to make a mess. You fit to end up in prison for the rest of your life for taking a life or hurting somebody because you took matters in your own hand. God said he will not have you be moved. But you're going to be moved if you don't give it to God. When frustration threatened to overwhelm us, Psalm 55 and 22 offered the confident invitation to cast our care upon the Lord. It assured us that God will sustain us and ensure that we remain rooted in his righteousness. Frustration often leaves us feeling shaken and uncertain. You hear what I'm saying? It often leaves us unshaken and uncertain because we're trying to fix it ourselves. We're trying to work it out ourselves, and we end up in a dilemma. James 4 and 7, submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When faced with frustration, it is essential to submit ourselves to God and resist the temptation that may accompany it. If you don't give this thing to God, if you don't submit it to God and realize that this thing is bigger than you, you're going to make a mess. You're going to make a mess. You're going to mess around and cause a chaos. You're going to mess around and hurt somebody and cause somebody to hurt you. So give it to God. Instead of succumbing to negative emotion, we find ourselves overflowing with praise and worship, lifting our spirit and reminding us of God's wavering presence and faithfulness. Yes, we got to turn our problem, our complaints into a praise. Isn't that something? Turning your complaint into a praise. That's what we need to write that down. We need to make that a topic. Turning our complaints into a praise. You don't been complaining long enough. Now, how about turn that complaint into praise? Now, you can make Kool-Aid and don't put no sugar in it, and I guarantee you it'll taste just as bitter as it can as long as it's set there. You can sit there and pray with all day long. It's going to be better. But if you put some sugar in that Kool-Aid, and that's what you need to do, you need to put some sugar in your emotions. You need to put some sugar in your attitude. You need to put some sugar in your conversation. And the Word of God is the sweet sugar that you need to put in it. Matthew 11, 28, 30. Come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Talking about frustration now. Huh? When frustration becomes overwhelming, it is comforting to know that we can come to the Lord. We can come to God. And when we come to God, he will give us a victory. He said, who are weary and burdened, he said, I'll give you rest from your frustration. He said, take my yoke. Your yoke is too heavy. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. We need to read the Bible so we can learn of God. Learn how to be gentle. Learn how to be meek. Learn how to be kind. Learn how to be humble in heart. He said, we'll find rest to our souls. Some of our souls need rest because we've got our souls so troubled with frustration, so troubled with anxiety. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and he will help me. My heart leaps for joy, and with joy, my song, I praise him. Yes, the Lord is your strength. The Lord is your strength, and he's your shield. And he wants you to trust in him with all your heart. Psalm 28:7 reminds us that the Lord is our ultimate source of strength and protection. Frustration can often weaken our resources and leave us feeling vulnerable. But when we trust in the Lord, he becomes our shield and our stronghold. That's what he becomes. Our shield and our stronghold. Our frustration can take a toll on our mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being. However, by accepting Jesus' invitation, we allow him to carry our burden and lead us with gentle and humble guidance. In him, we find a yoke that is easy and bear a burden that is light. Rest and renewal await us as we surrender our frustration, to the one who can provide peace. He's just waiting. He's just waiting for us to give that frustration to him. I hope I'm helping somebody this evening, because you need it. You need this. You need to carry this into the new year, because you done been frustrated long enough. You ain't know when the last time you laughed. You don't know when the last time you had no joy. You don't know when the last time you had no peace. Well, you don't know when the last time you were celebrated. You just get up fussing. Listen. I say fussing. Now, what does fussing and frustration mean? Frustration is the same thing as fussing, but you done took it to another level. Frustration. Listen to this. Frustration. You done took fussing to another level where it's frustrating. Now, people don't even want to be around you because your fussing is continuous. Your fussing done took on legs, done took on wings and fly. Time you walk in the door, you start fussing because you overcome with frustration and you ain't acknowledged then. You're going to feel so much better when you lay this frustration down. You're going to feel so much better when you count to 10 and just before you get mad. Next time before you get frustrated, count to 10, not 30. Just count to 10 real slow. 1, 2, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And while you're counting, you're thinking. See, this is why people get charged with premeditated murder, because they thought about what they did before they did it. They planned it. See what I'm saying? They had time not to do what they did. And that's why it was called premeditated, because they planned it. They knew they were going to do it. They had already thought they were going to do it and knew they were going to do it and followed up on it. That's what made it be capital upon in first degree, because they planned it. See, when you count now, you're planning. You're planning what? You're planning not to be frustrated. You're planning not to lose it. You're planning not to lose your cool while you're counting to 10. Oh, it might have seemed like a long time, but it was a lot better than that 10. You had a lot to think about while you were thinking to leave it alone. Let it go. You're up to 5 now. You're up to 6. You're up to 7. Leave it alone. Let it go. Don't say nothing. I don't care if your pride is on the line. See, this is the thing about frustrating. Your pride get on the line. When your pride get on your line, pride makes you act on frustration. Forget a bit of pride. It's okay to humble yourself. When frustration arrives, it is tempting to carry them on our own. Yet Psalm 55:22 encouraged us to cast our cares upon the Lord and trust in his sustaining power. By releasing our frustration to him, we find solace, knowing that he will not allow the righteous to be shaken. God's strength and guidance are available to us even in moments of frustration and weaknesses. When we allow him to bear our burden, we receive renewal energy, hope, and the assurance that we are working on our behalf. That he is working on our behalf. We can walk through life frustration with confidence, knowing that we are upheld by the Almighty God. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? When you take your time, when you count to 10, when you think about it before you do it again, because it's coming. Just as soon as I teach you tonight, it's coming back again. Just because I taught you tonight don't mean you delivered. Just because you hear me preaching tonight don't mean you got a breakthrough. You got to act on this word. But the Bible says you got to apply the word. The word ain't no good unless you apply it. So when the enemy come back again, when the circumstance arise, when somebody make you mad, when somebody get on your last nerve, when things don't work out in your favor, when that project don't go through, when that contract don't go through, when that wife still acting crazy, that husband still acting up, you got to be able to count the 10. And while you counting, you got to be thanking. Galatians 6:9, let not become weary and well-doing. This will be my last verse. Galatians 6:9, take this one with you into the new year. This is a good one here. Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary and doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Do you not think just because you're doing good, huh? Frustration can often lead to weariness and a desire to give up. Frustration will often lead to weariness. That's what the end of frustration is. It'll make you weary, and it want to make you give up. But the Bible said, let us not become weary. You done well, and ain't nobody bragging on you. Ain't nobody encouraging. Ain't nobody calling you saying, I thank you for what you did for me. I thank you for lending me that money that helped me get to pay that bill. Or I thank you for giving me them clothes for my children. I thank you for the courage and word that you've been giving me all year long. People can be so disrespectful. People can be so rude. People can be so ungrateful. And they don't want to say thank you after you don't work. So sometimes a thank you can mean so much. Sometimes a thank you can be paid for all, you know what I'm saying, for all that you've done for someone. They just call you and say, listen, I don't have no money to pay you back for what you've done for me this year, but thank you. Oh, you just don't know how important that is, how that'll make them feel so good. Oh, my God, how that will lift up their spirit. So remember Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary and doing good. Keep on doing good. Don't stop doing good because nobody praises you, nobody thanking you. Don't stop doing good because you didn't think that they should have gave you the reward that you should have got from doing good. Don't stop doing good because they talked about the good that you did. You ain't doing the good for them. You're doing the good for God. And the Bible said, don't become weary in your way of doing. God's going to pay you. You keep doing the right thing. Let everybody else do wrong. Let everybody else lie. Let everybody else cut. Let everybody else go to the club. Let everybody else go the opposite way. Let everybody else do what Joshua said. So me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You be like Joshua. You do the right thing when everybody else doing the wrong thing. How many people you think made it out of the old world? Only 8. All the whole world were lost, 8 people. How many people made it out of Sodom and Gomorrah? Only 3. All those people in Sodom and Gomorrah, all the surrounding city died. Only 3 people make it. You don't worry about the crowd. Don't worry about the majority. You just be part of the minority. You hang on in there. You work on your frustration. Don't go calling nobody else talking about a girl, you need to work on your frustration. No, you work on your frustration. We always talking about that word was for somebody else. No, this word is for you this afternoon. Take this word and apply it to your life. If you don't need it, pray for somebody else who is frustrated and quit trying to judge somebody. Because we all have sinned and come short of glory. We all are weak in some area. We all been bothered with frustration, and it seemed to get the best of us. So we thank you for the word this evening. I pray that you take it and apply it to your life, that it might do you ever so good. Precious Father, I thank you for the lesson this evening. It has certainly been a source of strength for me. It has certainly revived me. It has certainly have encouraged me. It has certainly have enlightened me as I minister to the radio world, God, concerning frustration. Let somebody take this word this evening and let it be a strength to them. Let it revive them. Let it bring them a refreshing. Let it bring them back their joy. Help them to let it go, God. Help them to turn that frustration loose. Help them to let it go, God. They've been holding on to it so long, God. They mad, God. They bitter, God. They sitting back like Jonah would in Revelation. How Jonah would, when Jonah was mad, he wanted you to destroy Nineveh. And you asked Jonah, but why should you be mad? He said, because he knew you were going to show them mercy. Jonah didn't even want you to show Nineveh mercy. But you told Jonah there were 5,000 people that didn't know their right hand from their left hand. That's why you showed them mercy. We got people sitting back mad now. Mad want you to destroy somebody. Mad want you to punish somebody because what they done to you. But help them, oh God, to give it to you. Help them to walk in grace. Help them to walk in love. Help them to walk in compassion. Help them to turn it loose and let it go, God. This frustration, oh, that the joy of the Lord might fill them up, God. Fill up their vow. Strengthen the radio world, God. Strengthen the apostle, God, Amati, for allowing this door to become open for me, the minister, and many other, God. Strengthen what she, we good up, what she may be torn. Bless her beyond her wildest dream. Let her prayer be answered. Let doors be opened in her faith, God. Let unexpected blessings come her way, God, for being an instrument in your hand and allowing others to be there. Do this in the name of the Father. Do this in the name of the Son. Do this in the name of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus, we pray, amen.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Be blessed.
God bless you, too, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It was awesome.
Thank you.